ॐ ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मदतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकथामयं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुत परकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथं विथं थं सजीवं साद्वैतं साद्वधूतं भवजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादं सहगना ललिता शिवशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणसिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कंठ राधा कंठ नमोस्तु ते तप्त कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासारी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So we're hearing the Shrisha Upanishad. This is called Shruti. And Shruti means that knowledge which is received from the perfect source, which is Krishna. Krishna is beyond the defects of the three modes of material nature. Yomam evam asammudho janati purushottamam sasarvavid bhajatimam sarvabhavina bharata. And one who knows Krishna and knows that he is the source of everything is the knower of everything, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. And other kinds of knowledge which are gained through direct perception or through the process of deduction are not perfect. But when we hear from the perfect source, the process of submissive hearing from the perfect source gives us perfect knowledge. So the Vedic process is called Shruti, which means that we must hear. And so the Isha Upanishad is part of the Vedas, which are eternal, and appear in this world in order to enlighten us, actually. Maya mukta jivaranahi swata Krishna gyan. Kripa jivere kripaya koila Krishna Veda Puran. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami that it's not automatic that the soul can come out of the darkness of ignorance. Being covered from an immemorial time by the ignorance and darkness of the material world, one requires assistance from a liberated source. And liberated source comes through the Vedas and through the representatives of Krishna, the spiritual masters who speak on behalf of Krishna and who represent and represent the Vedas for others to hear. Then, by the hearing process, one can get perfect knowledge. So this kind of knowledge that we're hearing from the Shrisha Upanishad is Sambandha Gyan. This means knowledge of our relationship. Sanityo Nitya Sambandha, we have an eternal relationship with Krishna. Prakritischa Paraivasa. And the Brahma Samhita says, the soul is prakriti, it's one of the energies of Krishna, para, but it's superior energy. And similarly, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, apareyamitastanyam prakritim vidimeparam jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. That besides the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, and the combinations of those, which make those are the five great elements, And through different combinations and permutations, those constitute 23 elements of the material world. They're the senses and the sense objects. And there's all of these combined together are the material ingredients. But beyond that is the soul. And above the soul is the super soul. And understanding the temporary nature of this material world through hearing Shruti and understanding what is our goal gives us the impetus to come out of the darkness of material life. Therefore, we hear the Sri Upanishad, which is coming from the perfect source, Apurusheya, which means it's not from a human source, it's from transcendental source, Krishna, speaking the Vedas. So in the beginning of this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how there are three aspects. Advaya Gyan Tattva. The absolute truth is a non-dual, but he's understood in three different divisions, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And according to the method that one applies to understand God, one can come to a certain level of understanding different aspects of the Supreme. So, the devotees of the Lord, they take shelter of the process of bhakti yoga. And they accept Krishna as Pushan, or their maintainer. And this Krishna says, he mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayantomam ye jana pariupasate, tesham nityabdiyukdanam yogik shemam bahamyaham. That those who dedicate their consciousness to him in devotional service, Ananyas chintayantomam. Ananya means without any deviation to anything else. They simply fix their mind on Krishna. Ananya means unalloyed. Ananyas chintayanto means the consciousness, mam, is fixed on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And who worship him, to such people, Krishna carries what they lack and he preserves what they have. And so in this verse, Pushani Karshi Yama Surya Prajapatya, Srila Prabhupada augments this word Pushan. He's the maintainer of every living entity, and this is one of the reasons and ways that we can understand that Krishna is supreme and we're not, is that he's the supplier and we're being supplied. He's the maintainer and we're being maintained. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bahunam, yo viditati kaman. The Vedas say also that there are many eternal living beings, but there's one that maintains all the other individuals, and that's Krishna. All of them are dependent on Krishna, so he's Pushan, or the maintainer of everyone. And he's maintaining the ants and the elephants and every living being and the fish in the water. Good eye. Gotta have to keep it down. And however, he's especially the maintainer of the devotees. Lord Chaitanya's name is Vishvambar, which means the maintainer of the universe, but it very especially means the maintainer of those who are devoted to him. And Krishna says as much in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti na priha ye bhajanti turmam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. That he's equal to everyone, but to someone who's devoted to him, he gives a special consideration. And that means the devotees who are especially concentrated in devotional service on him. Questions? Comments? Yes.
Can you please elaborate on what you mean by special consideration for devotees?
Well, in the verse, Ananyas chintayantumam yejana pariupasate tesham nityabdyukdanam yogakshemam vahamyaham, the word vahami means that Krishna personally carries to a devotee what he lacks and carries what he lacks and preserves what he has. So there's a sense there that he's getting personally involved. And the difference is that when one is unconscious and not taking shelter of Krishna, such a person is maintained by Krishna's by Krishna, but through the agency of his external energy, not directly. Prabhupada once said that Krishna is the father of all living entities, but when we're in Maya, when we've forgotten Krishna, or we've rejected Krishna even, apetasya viparya yosmitiv, Srimad Bhagavatam says we're ignoring him, then our father isn't Krishna, it's Maya we've taken on. It's sort of like when a child or a youngster in the teens runs away from home thinking I'll be independent, and then gets taken in by foster parents who are bad foster parents, and they mistreat him. This is compared to the living entity who's turned away from Krishna and is now being maintained by the external energy of the Lord. And those who are devotees of the Lord are become very dear to the Lord, and they're personally maintained by him. He takes a personal interest in helping them to advance in devotional service. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satata yuktanam pajatam priti purvakam dadami bhuti yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are devoted to me, I give very special kind of intelligence by which they can come to me. He awards them that kind of intelligence and guidance so that they can come towards him. And even the so-called reversals in life of a devotee are orchestrated by the Lord in order to help him come towards him. Yasya hamana grinnami harishe dhanam shanai. He told, Krishna told Yudhisthira in the Mahabharata, this is related, that when I show special favor to a devotee, sometimes I take away his wealth so that he can become more dependent on me. And so Prabhupada says there's a more a personal relationship, and he describes it also as the son of a rich man. If he gets into a bad situation, it's not the same as the situation of an orphan who gets in a bad situation, because the son of a rich man knows that if he's in a bad situation, his father's going to come get him and bail him out any time now. Whereas the son of an orphan just thinks like, you know, my life is bad. So in the material world, life is bad. And we're really at the mercy of the changes of material nature. And for the devotee who's taken shelter of Krishna knows that Krishna is protecting him. Another example that Prabhupada gave was the teeth of the cat. The teeth of the cat mean death for the rat. And the teeth for the kitten means protection. Teeth are the teeth. But because the kitten has taken shelter of the cat, it's actually its offspring, when he sees the teeth of the mother, then he thinks, oh, I'll be carried to safety by these teeth and nourished. But when the rat sees the teeth of the cat, then he thinks, I'm going to die now. So material nature is the teeth are there. But for the devotee who's taken shelter of Krishna, he knows I'm getting shelter. Krishna's going to protect me. He's saving me. So there are many examples about how Krishna is very kind. And actually, he's kind to everyone equally. It's not that he's kind to some people and he's not kind to other people. As mentioned in this verse, Krishna is like a desire tree. So a desire tree will give you anything you want. And it's not the desire tree's fault if you come to the desire tree and say, please let a bag of hammers fall upon my head. And it delivers. And the bag of hammers fall upon your head, and then you can't complain because you asked for it. Your desire was wrong. If you come to the desire tree and ask for something marvelous, then the tree will deliver. So Krishna is like that. He doesn't consider the lower higher, but because I'm in ignorance, I'm asking for the wrong things, and I'm I'm being awarded those things because of my desire, which is covered. My original desire to serve Krishna is covered by ignorance. Follow-up question.
I have one more question. What is the consideration for devotees who are bewildered by Maya for some time, say? Does Krishna do something for them? Or because they've chosen a wrong path, okay, now I'm not there. So what happens to them?
There was a similar question Arjuna asked Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, in the sixth chapter. Because Krishna was explaining the path of devotional service, and then Arjuna said, but what if I don't make it? What if I start this path? It means I give up my standing in the material world, so to speak, and then I take to devotional service, but I don't make it. So that, doesn't that leave me like a riven cloud? It means the cloud sometimes separates from the... a small cloud breaks off from the bigger cloud, and then it just sort of evaporates. So won't that happen to me if I take the devotional service, I don't make it? And Krishna says that one who attempts to do devotional service is never overcome by evil. He's never thwarted. And that whatever progress he makes in devotional service, he'll take up again in his next life. So those who have performed devotional service for a long period of time become very advanced. In their next life, they get birth in the family of transcendentalists, which is a really good start. It means we see here at ISV, many children are being born and they're hearing already the kirtan when they're in the womb. They're hearing door-to-door book distribution. They're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And when they come out of the womb, immediately the parents are there giving transcendental sound. And, you know, the kids, their first steps are dances, practically. So this is a carryover from the last life. Those who perform some activities in devotional service for a short amount of time and don't make a lot of advancement, they can take birth in the heavenly planets for some time, and then they come back down to the earthly planet, Krishna says, and they take birth in a wealthy family, because that gives one an opportunity to not be encumbered just by working really hard, but then there may be some leisure time to take up, you know, the process of devotional service. But Krishna is the super soul in everyone's heart. Even after the entire creation takes place and the living entities are wound up within the body of Mahavishnu again, when the universe is recreated, when the exhalation of Mahavishnu takes place and the universal affairs begin again, Krishna is there as the super soul and reminds every single living entity where they took up previously, what their previous desires were. And those who have advancement in devotional service, if you made 2% advancement in this life, you start off next time 2%. If you make 98% advancement, you start off 98%. It's never lost. Krishna says, Neha bikramana shosti pratyavayo navidyate swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mato bhayat. That this advancement in Buddha Yoga, in devotional service, it's never lost. Even a little bit of advancement, he says, su ulpam, can actually save you from the greatest type of fear, which is missing the opportunity of the human life. Labbam sudulabam idam bahusambhavante. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described how the human life, labbam sudulabam, it's very, very rare to get a human birth. There are 8,400,000 species of life, and out of them, the human form is very... it's very special, and it's meant just for self inquiring, for going back to Godhead. So to get this body is a gift of material nature. It's very rarely attained. Labham sudulabham idam bahusam bhavanti manushyam artadam anityam apihadira. And it's anityam, it's not permanent. It's a very short period that we have this body. But even though it's very temporary, one can attain all perfection within this short amount of time. And there are many stories about people who started devotional service but then retreated or were distracted, just to encourage us, like Bharata, who's India is named for whom India is named. Bharata was a king, and he was an advanced devotee who, how advanced? He walked away from his kingdom. And description, he was so detached from his kingdom that he just saw it as like stool, actually. The verse says, it was that insignificant to him. All of the opulence that he had, most people, like politicians and others, they'll try to hang on to their position to the very end of life by hook or by crook, and whatever wealth, they try to keep it. But he was so attracted to the path of devotional service and was so detached from the world, he walked away from his kingdom and engaged in meditation. And during that, he was distracted because a deer mother who was scared by a lion had a miscarriage and gave birth to a little fawn. And the mother died, and he took the fawn into his ashram and began to raise it. And it's really hard to resist a baby deer. So his mind got distracted, and the deer got attached to him and would rub up against him while he was meditating. And then he wasn't really meditating anymore. He was thinking about the deer. So when he left his body, actually, he missed the goal, and he took birth as a deer in his next life. But Krishna gave him remembrance because he was an advanced transcendentalist, and he knew what his goal was. Krishna knew what his goal was, what his intention was. He gave him remembrance in his next life. Again, Krishna says, I carry what you lack, and I preserve what you have. So next life, he was a deer. But what kind of deer? Fully conscious deer. He went back to Pulashya Ashram and began performing Ashtanga Yoga. You can see some incredible animals in Vrindavan. You look around, you go like, I know you. You're some kind of yogi. And, he was bathing three times a day and eating only leaves. I don't know what kind of asanas he did as a deer, but he was doing something. And in his next life, he became Judd Barrett, a greatly advanced transcendentalist. And in that birth, he pretended to be completely ignorant because he wanted nothing to do with the material world. He was learning his lesson as he went along. And long story about Judd Barrett, but he was a Paramahamsa. He was a completely liberated soul who gave instructions to Maharaj Rahugana. Beautiful prayers. So as we go through, there's no fear. In fact, there's a verse in the 11th canto, which some of you may have seen because I put it on a postcard and sent it out to everybody recently. Did you get a postcard? On that verse, it says that Kavi Yogendra says, when one takes to the process of devotional service, that he will, even if he runs with his eyes closed, he will not trip and fall. He won't stumble. Means that Krishna carries what you lack, preserves what you have. So there's no fear on the path of devotional service. Is that all right?
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Another question?